We welcome you to the preaching service of the Scotts Fork Christian Church. I'm Otis Clark, the minister, and we are so pleased to have you sharing with us. We have been sharing in some special emphasis at the Scotts Fork Christian Church since June the 11th, and we are praying for decisions, public decisions, at least eight, by the time that we go through June 11 to July 30th. And we're taking a long, hard look at a very, very important subject in God's Word, and that is evangelism. Now, I'm going to be reading in a moment from Genesis, the 11th chapter, verses 1 through 6. And I know that a lot of people possibly pronounce B-A-B-E-L different ways. I was raised pronouncing it the Tower of Babel. But then there's others who say it's a tower, the Tower of Babel. And so I want to read the first six verses here in the 11th chapter of the book of Genesis. Now the whole world had one language and a common speech. As people moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. They said to each other, "Come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly." They used bricks instead of stone and tar for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens, so that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we will be scattered over the face of the whole earth." But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower the people were building. And the Lord said, "If, as one people speaking the same language, they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan will do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so they will not understand each other." Now, these are some powerful teachings that I have just read. And I'm sure through the years of time that you have heard these words read. Now, I want to talk first of all and give you a little background about the tower. It was an ancient tower symbolizing human pride and rebellion. It was built during the period after the flood. And the narrative of the tower appears in Genesis 11, 1 through 9, and it is a climax to the account of early mankind found in Genesis 1 through 11. The geological setting is in a plain in the land of Shinar. In the light of the information contained in Genesis 10:10, it seems fair to say that Shinar probably refers to Babylonia. The tower was constructed of brick because there were no stone in southern Mesopotamia. It corresponds in general to a notable feature of Babylonian religion, our temple tower. The one built at Ur in southern Mesopotamia around 21 BC was a pyramid consisting of three terraces of diminishing size as the building ascended, topped by a temple. Converging stairways on one side led up to the temple. Its surviving lower two terraces were about 70 feet high, and the outside of the structure was built of fired brick and bituminous mortar, just like the tower described in Genesis 11, where we read. Now, this narrative in Genesis 11 is told with irony and with a negative attitude toward the people involved. Human beings delight in bricks, but the narrator and readers know that these are an inferior substitute for stone. To people, the tower is a skyscraper, but to God, it is so small that he must come down, as we read, from heaven to catch a glimpse of this tiny effort. The construction of the tower and the city is described as an act of self-glorification by the builders. And what we notice that people seek for their own security and community life and culture independent of God. This is human initiative apart from God. And as such, the activity is evil and sinful. And so the account moves from a description of the sin to the narration of the punishment. God has to step in to prevent mankind from seizing yet more power for themselves and going beyond their creaturehood. Their communication with each other to advance their effort is frustrated because they begin to speak different language, and finally they abandon the building of the city and go to their own, becoming scattered over the earth. And we continue to note as we look about this that the climax of the story occurs when the city is identified with Babel or Babel, the Hebrew name for Babylonian. This nation's sophisticated culture and power deliberately excluded God. And just as the Old Testament prophets foresaw the future downfall of Babylonia in spite of its glory, this downfall is anticipated. The end corresponds to the beginning. And Babel derives, ultimately comes from another name, and that means a gateway to God. A similar Hebrew word, Babel, means confuse, and provides the author with a useful wordplay that stresses God's confusing of the builders' languages and his scattering of them throughout the earth. And so what we see here, and I'm, like I said, I feel most confident that many of you have read and this particular portion of scripture took place after the universal flood. And so what we note is that in this we see many a great lesson even for God's people today. This account in God's Word contains the greatest growth, church growth principle in the Bible. There's principles of power, principles of progress, and principles of the providence of God. And so this morning we're going to talk about, as we look at these principles, even though we read about the people who built the tower, they were certainly not in line with God's will and God's work, but there were some very powerful things that occurred. And so we want to talk about reaching our highest potential. And friends, I am fearful today that somehow or another, whose fault is it? Is it one person, two persons, 10 persons, 100 persons? You know, I don't know, but it just seems today that a lot of people maybe do not have that thought, the importance of reaching our highest potential. And we want to be able to say when we finish life's journey, hopefully that we have reached our highest potential so that we could bring people to Jesus Christ. Now, the first thing that I want us to know about this tower is what the people said in verse 6. It's such a powerful thing. And listen, and I will read it again. And this is what the Lord said. If as one people speaking the same language, they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. And we can't help but feel that as we look at this particular account in God's Word, that there was unity among them. They were working together. They were working in harmony. And then also we notice that they all spoke the same language. If you notice what it said in God's Word, in verse 1, the whole world had one language and a common speech. And so the same language, they wanted that tower at whatever cost. That is significant. These people, from all indications, were not seeking the blessings of the Father. They were seeking to do something that glorified themselves. They were seeking to do something outside of God's will. And so in the King James Version, it says that they dreamed vision. They had a plan. And as we read those first six verses together, we notice that the writer of the NIV states that they had a plan so that they may make a name for themselves. Otherwise, we will be scattered over the whole face of the earth. And so what we see that, needless to say, what this wasn't to do is that their ideas were not air castles. There was a lot to do, and it's very apparent that concerning the people who built this tower, that they were willing to work hard, and not only willing, but they did work hard. Now, what I want us to see as we think about bringing people to Christ and doing what he wants us to do, go out into the fields and so forth and so on, is that we can apply the four principles to the people of God today. I know, for instance, we could go back and read in 2 Timothy 1:7, and it says this: as we think about applying these principles and having the determination and do it within the will of God, that we notice that we can get a lot done. And so Paul, in writing to Timothy, he said, "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of language and love, and of self-discipline." And then also that in the Gospel of Mark, the 9th chapter and 21st verse, "If you can," said Jesus, "everything is possible for him who believes." And then Paul, in writing to the church at the city of Corinth, he says, "We live by faith and not by sight." And so what we need to understand today, that these principles, that the people who are outside of the will of God, working apart from God, that we can learn from them and see that it is necessary to have unity. If we are going to reach our highest potential, we know what the Holy Book says about that, if we a house divided against itself cannot stand. And I know I share many and many a time about what we are to pray for, and I'll mention that in just a second. But in Ephesians 4:3, here's what Paul said to the church at Ephesus: "Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace." And friends, we know that we appreciate, as a matter of fact, at the Scotts Fork Christian Church, every Lord's Day before we begin any services at all, we all share in unison the Lord's Prayer. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. But we know the most important prayer that he wants us to pray is to pray that we might be one. Now, I'm going to read from John 17, and I've mentioned this before on the podcast, verses 20 and 21, and this is what it says: "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe on me through the message, through their message." And verse 21, "that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me." The prayer in John 17, and certainly, again, not only do we see other scriptures, but we see that if we want to reach our highest potential as a Christian, if we want to reach our highest potential in helping the church and the Lord's body and his work grow, that we need to pray and be mindful of the importance of unity. And so he says, I'll read it again: "Just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me." Unity, unity, unity. And in some ways, it seems that right now, here we are, July the 9th, 2023, that the world is divided in the religious world unbelievably. And friends, what we need to be mindful of is that one of the things that is so important to understand is Jesus prayed that his people might be one. And so as we think about doing the Lord's work, and that is true, a house divided against itself cannot stand. You cannot be effective. And then also we need to understand the importance of singleness of purpose. Remember when Paul was writing to the Philippian Christians, and he was writing from the jail, and he said, "This one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and reaching forth unto the things which are before, I press toward the mark for the high calling of Christ Jesus. Esteem when it is consecrated, It moves the giant locomotive. And time again, we can point out the importance of having the singleness of purpose. And we need, as we go through our lives and live our lives, is that if we see that maybe we have attached ourselves to too many things, and whereby that we are unable to fulfill that number one thing, that singleness of purpose, and that is to reach our full potential and be a great stalwart of the faith, faithful, winning souls to Christ, and being faithful to Christ. I have seen this in my life that it's so sad in our day, because there are so many issues which are prevalent and very, very lofty concepts and understandings of God's Word. And needless to say, there has been a lot of division, and needless to say, God hates division. And then we also need to see that just as they were building the tower, that they there was a visionary planning, and that is so important. Friends, we need to understand it from God's Word that we are to seek to be insightful. And then as we seek to be insightful, is that we need to have visionary planning, is that we need to have courage to be what God wants us to be. In many ways, I feel comfortable saying, I have never seen a time when the work of Christ is divided like it is now. And again, we go back to the prayer of John 17, that Jesus prayed for unity. And in Proverbs, the 29th chapter, verse 18, the Burberry writer said, "Where there is no revelation," the King James Version said, "where there is no vision, the people cast off restraints." Where there is no vision, also is the people perish. Friends, that is so, so important. You need to seek as an individual, as you're listening to this podcast, and I hope you're looking at your life as I am looking at my life, is that we need to see the importance to seek to be insightful, the importance of planning. And the Bible, we all know this, that the Bible tells us to teach us to number our days. And I firmly believe that if we do not heed these great exhortations, which are better to help make us better, that we will not fulfill our full potential, and we will not be what God wanted us to be. And also, we know in the book of Hebrews 11, that is the faith chapter of the Bible. And Hebrews 11:13 says that all these people were still living by faith when they died. And they did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. Friend, I cannot tell you how important it is that for a body of believers to really realize that as we think about reaching our full potential and reaching people for Christ, and friends, Christ is the hope of the world. There's no question about it. Not another peace treaty. We've had peace treaty after peace treaty after peace treaty, and very little has been accomplished all in all. But if we want to have real peace, listen to me now, if we want to have that inner, genuine, real peace, it only comes by knowing Jesus Christ, knowing His words, and knowing what He would have us to know with all of the happenings of life. And I know through the years, and I've watched people share and people talk, and needless to say, I've learned so much, because we can always learn if we listen and discern and want to know more. But many times I've seen people, and I'll say this, so to speak, that they would just wring their hands and say, what are we going to do? You know, this isn't as it ought to be. And friends, oftentimes what was lacking was a willingness on the part of the people, listen to me, to work and work hard. Friends, is there anyone who is greater than Jesus Christ? No, there isn't. And He is worthy of of our hard work. He is worthy of our labor. He is worthy of us giving our heart and soul to Him. And so there is no substitute for it. There absolutely is no substitute for it. And so what we need to do is to get involved. We need to get others involved and help them to understand some very important teachings. All of you probably know this particular scripture in Matthew 9:37 lesson. Jesus says, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few." I have some statistics from back many years ago, and I'm sure they have all changed. Excuse me. But thinking about that the harvest is plentiful and the laborers are few, back in 1987, we had 42 federal prisons. 1999, we had 93 federal prisons. 2004, 115 prisons. And then I looked up on the computer and it says now that we have 122 across this nation. It seems like that would be enough challenge for us to think about seeking to live our full potential and soul winning and bringing to Christ. It seems like that we can't build jails and prisons quite quick enough. And I cannot help but feel, brothers and sisters, and I don't mean to sound simplistic, but I have no question in my mind, if men and women who are Christians, who have been washed in the blood of the Lamb, that if they would take more seriously their work as a Christian and getting other Christians, get others to become Christians, that we could see an unbelievable difference in our world. We know that there are thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands right this very hour, July 9, 2023, who are in federal prisons, who are in jails, who are incarcerated. And the answer, friend, we're looking. The world is really, really hurting. I was listening, I believe it's Dr. Jeffries, who is the minister of the First Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas, and I was listening to him on his radio program the other day, and they put out a different type of a survey about this good cross-section of America, and basically, you know, one question was, do you think we're doing okay and everything will be okay? And there was, you know, a pretty good number who said yes to that. And then the other question was, and he was saying that he'd never heard of a survey who had on that survey, how many believe that we are on our way to hell in a basket? And that was on the survey, and 73% of the people who were surveyed said that's what they believed was happening. Friends, the fields, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Paul, in writing in 2 Corinthians 6:1, and this is what he says, "As God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain." In Luke 14:33, "In the same way, every one of you who does not give up everything, he cannot be my disciple." Powerful, powerful words. And then there are the great words in Psalm 34:22, where it says, "The Lord redeems his servants. No one who takes refuge in him will be condemned." Friends, we need to get out on a limb. Get out on a limb for God. And I beg of you, if you are not a Christian, please consider becoming a Christian. It is without doubt the most important decision you will ever make in life. And then I encourage you to realize that you can do more in bringing people to Christ than you think that you can. You see what's happening in our world today. People are asking, what in the world is going on? What in the world has gone wrong? I think one element, and there are many elements, but that the world is speaking so loudly that we cannot hear our Lord speak. The world is outdoing us and getting the attention of mankind. And we know that we are in the world. We know, but we cannot be of the world if we are going to reach our full potential. And certainly when we realize that every good and perfect gift comes from God the Father and Jesus the Christ, the Holy Spirit, certainly we need to be challenging ourselves to wake up. As we all know, people have said, great scholars, that we have lost a sense of lostness. Maybe years ago, not maybe to it, you did have years ago, people were more apt to share their faith and to say, as I heard years ago in a meeting out in Oklahoma, that Jesus saves and Jesus keeps. Jesus satisfies. Whatever is connected with Christ is genuine through and through. And so the psalmist said, I'll read it again, the Lord redeems his servants. No one who takes refuge in him will be condemned. And also we need to understand there's this great teaching in Ephesians. I often use this as a prayer at the end of a service in different settings. And this is where Paul wrote to the Christians in Ephesus. And Ephesians 3:20 and 21, it says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church, in Christ Jesus, throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. And friends, I want to challenge you. I don't know where you are in your walk. You may be a lot further in a faithful walk with Jesus Christ than I am. Only Jesus Christ knows that. But I want to challenge you, because if we're going to see our world become a better place, I submit to you that it is a worthwhile ambition. It's a worthwhile thing, and it will give many rewards to seek the highest and reaching our highest potential. Reaching our highest potential. And maybe you're listening to this podcast. You've got the talent that you could be a minister, that you could be a preacher of the word. Did you know when we talk about the work of Jesus Christ, there is nothing else in the entire world that we can talk about that will take us into an eternity. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Believe in me and you will never die. Tremendous hope. I hope and pray you know that. And I hope and pray that you have a desire to share that hope. God has no hands but our hands. He has no feet. And as we read in the Roman letter, Paul talked to people about how beautiful are the feet of those who carry the gospel of Christ. Friend, we're working hard. We're praying hard. We're seeking. I went Friday visiting with one of our deacons, and I guess we called to 7 different homes. And in some places, that particular approach has lost its way. But I would submit to you it's a great thing to do. A great thing to do. And there are so many ramifications, so many positive things that happen from that. Friend, the Lord bless you. And I hope you have it as one of your goals, is to reach your highest potential for Jesus Christ and doing all that you can to bring people to the message of the cross. Will you pray with me? Father, I pray that we have a desire as we go through life to have unity so we can be successful, that we have a singleness of purpose, that we have visionary planning for our lives. God tells us to teaches us to number our days, and that we have a desire to work hard because we know we do not labor in vain. We pray, Lord, you'll bless every listener. Pray you'll bless this message. Forgive us of our sins, and Lord, help us and find us faithful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.